Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carrillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
I'm Drew Sellers.
I'm David Kemp.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Thank you to Drew and David, who backed us in our Kickstarter of last year, giving the gift of the Tennis Podcast, part of which was to introduce one of our shows. And you can still do so for a couple of days yet. The 2020 Kickstarter is still running. It's nearly over. We have reached our target, but any additional funds you want to chuck our way will be going on cheese and beers and Matt's hot drinks. Simon, what do you like having? Beer, wine?
Well, probably a slap-up five-course meal, if that's all right, for you.
Yeah, that'll sell it to the listeners. Simon Briggs is here, everybody, thankfully. I'm happy to say, here in Melbourne, because we have mostly arrived. Two out of the three of the core team here. Matt Roberts is here. Hello, Matt.
Hello, David.
And Simon Briggs is here.
Greetings. Nice to be here, rather than on some dubious electronic phone line where your voice gets faster and slower.
Yes, that's right. We'll talk to Simon about his time spent here very soon, but as I mentioned, only two out of the three of the regular Tennis Podcast team are here at the moment, and that's because Catherine Whittaker, who was telling you all about how she was going to share a plane with me for the first time and recline onto my knees in the seat in front of me, well, she's not here, and the reason is because that eye that we were making fun of in the previous show, she did go and get an eye patch. It was hilarious to look at. It was less hilarious when she had to get a second one because it spread to her other eye overnight and effectively became, as she described, a blindfold. So she can't travel for another couple of days. She's having a test on it tomorrow. She is thoroughly miserable. We are having to send photos of ourselves looking unhappy, so that even though kind of they're not genuine, Matt, I think that's fair to say.
Well, it doesn't feel quite right without her, does it?
No.
Everything feels a little bit wrong in the Tennis Podcast universe.
Yes, it does. But, you know, frankly, we love him being here. It's just that we're not very happy that Catherine's not here. So get well soon, Catherine. Come here quickly. She's hopeful to board a flight on Sunday and get here for the Monday night podcast, having seen no tennis. But when's that ever stopped us?
Well, she is in the spirit of the British women at this event, who all seem to be doing fitness tests, you know, to make sure they're all ready.
Yeah, well, we've just had Naomi Brody come up and have a little word with us here as we sit outside in Garden Square at Melbourne Park, overlooking the big screen. You can hear the qualifying matches going on in the background. She's got a massive ankle at the moment, having turned it a number of months ago, and has been out for a long time. And what of the other British women?
Well, Johanna Konta has been in saying that she's not playing Fed Cup in 2020.
Oh, blimey.
Her knee is still painful. She's pressing on with it. She's only played one match, in about 4.5 months, isn't it? And she was joking in that kind of upbeat, bright, but sort of slightly double-edged way that Jo has sometimes, that, you know, she's not far off the point where she could have asked for a protected ranking. It feels like it hasn't been a big injury because, you know, she played the four slams last year, obviously had a career best season at the slams as well. Was it 14 victories across the four of them?
Yeah.
But then as soon as the US Open was over, she quit playing and tried to think about getting more tournaments in, but every time she considered it, the knee wasn't quite right, and it's still an ongoing issue which she's going to have to manage. And meanwhile, Katie Balter, we saw, she's not sure she's going to play Fed Cup either, so that Bratislava tie is looking pretty dubious for Britain.
It's and of course the tie that Katie Bolter played a year ago was the moment that things, I mean, I don't think necessarily the reason for it, but that's when she sustained her back injury, isn't it, in
that's
April
right.
time.
And I asked her whether it was galling that it had turned out to be actually irrelevant in the scheme of things, given that she was then out for, I don't know, 9 months. She said, no, I'm happy I played it. It's an important match in my memory bank and something I'll be able to draw on. And, you know, I wonder if she's putting a brave face in it. I find it hard to believe that anyone who missed 9 months at a point of their career when they were really coming on strong. I mean, her performances here last year, really memorable. Started the year with that magnificent victory over Makarova, which came out of the blue as far as a lot of us were concerned.
That was the match where she forgot the new 10-point tiebreak and celebrated victory at seven, and then had to win the last 3 points, thinking she'd already won it, and did.
It's hard to believe that's all a year ago. Yeah. We were just walking over to sit outside here in Garden Square, and the memories suddenly came flooding back that it is exactly this corresponding day that we were sitting around a table talking about Andy Murray having announced the impending end of his career.
And another email arrived duly this morning from Andy Murray's management agency, and that wasn't good news either, was it?
No, he is not going to play in Montpellier in February. He's not going to play in Rotterdam. He's basically saying he doesn't want to rush it. He's listening to the body. But, yeah, well, it's another delay. And we don't really know the severity of this issue, how bad it is. What, I mean, Simon, given we're on that subject, what do you know about it?
Well, the suspicion is that it could be a case of the implant causing impingement or banging on a bone or just not moving smoothly within his pelvis, and it's a little tricky to know what you would do in that situation as a doctor. Obviously, you know, speculating on these things is far beyond any of our sphere of competence, but you wonder if it might turn out that resurfaced hip is going to be more suited to what we might call civilian life than playing singles tennis. And could it be that the swing in the right direction in his fortunes we saw in Antwerp and the joy that we saw him express in October and November might cruelly be followed by another pretty disastrous setback? I hope not, but it's been a while, and it's not been a great few weeks, not just for Andy, but for the sort of fitness levels generally around the British team. Dan Evans being the kind of the shining light who has been going pretty well.
So we'll wait and see. So the draw has been made while we were in the air. Lightning Bolt Andrew Bridges on our team was live tweeting the draw for us.
At about 2-3 o'clock in the morning in New York, where he lives.
Was it?
Yeah, so that was all the more impressive.
I'm glad you asked him to do that and not me. So well done, Andrew. It was an interesting draw to watch come out of it. They had their usual draw reveal.
Can I say how much I hate draw reveals?
I think you say that on an annual basis.
It's one of the worst sort of new things in tennis.
But you didn't actually get the worst of it, because the worst of it, I'm afraid, was the Channel 9 build-up show. Did you see any of that?
No, I didn't.
Wow, that was the pacing was glacial.
And then they whizzed through the reveal, right?
So we came out with Novak, and he did his interview, and they were asking him about, well, Novak, do you feel that playing in the time of these great players has raised your own game? And we're like, yeah, we probably have. We might have heard him answer that one once or twice before. And then we had Azarka sitting there, and you know how Azarka can be charming or quirky, and sometimes she just veers into straightforward awkward.
Right.
Well, this was an awkward day.
Okay.
And they were kind of asking her about her relationships with Serena Williams and other people, and she was telling them another thing that we do hear a little, in other interviews. I don't really talk to people. You know how she says that?
Yes. I can relate.
And, you know, sort of the lengthy silences in her answers, you know how she does that thing. It's quite endearing in a press conference, but on a sort of live broadcast that was aimed at a kind of general sports floating voter, I'm sure they were like, this chick's a little unusual. And then we went into the draw, and yeah, we had the old the quarters came up, and they whizzed through them, and there was only really one match that kind of really jumped out at us, wasn't there?
Which was?
Coco Gauff against Venus Williams, I'd say.
And is that even going to happen? Because, I mean, Venus Williams has not been fit. She's not been playing at all.
This is not like you, David.
I don't know.
I thought you'd be very up for that.
I'm wary of that because I want to see that and I don't want to get my hopes dashed. No, but I heard she'd been pulling out of... She hasn't played a match yet.
No.
And I think that that's... I wouldn't be that surprised if she ends up not playing. But I don't have any intel. It's just...
I hadn't actually considered it. I've been too Brit-centric to kind of look too deeply into the draw. But that's... That would be a shame because it was definitely the standout on the first round, which otherwise probably is fairly kind of without massive, exciting matchups.
See what you think about this, Matt. When the draw just immediately appeared and I looked down what Andrew had sort of shown as the potential route of each player. I mean, we'll go through the draw in detail probably in Sunday's show once the qualifiers have been drawn. But my feeling was that nobody looks like they've come out on the men's side with an absolute horror of a draw all the way through, but they all look like they've got a tough time. You know, they've all got challenges. Nobody looks to me like they've got a really easy draw this time.
Agreed. And I think the most interesting thing for me was looking at Nadal's draw, and he obviously landed on the other side to Federer and Djokovic, and in the past you would have thought, okay, that makes Nadal kind of a big winner out of this, but I think it did show how, I'm looking at his draw thinking, actually that's pretty tough. I think it does show how those other guys have started to show us a little bit more and slightly started to close the gap. For example, Thiem and Medvedev are in Nadal's half, and you know they're probably as big a threat to him as Federer at this tournament.
So could he be, because Kyrgios is a potential fourth round opponent for Nadal.
So fourth round Kyrgios, Thiem quarterfinal, Medvedev semifinal. Yeah. And that seems a really tough second week for Nadal.
And Kyrgios has got to beat Khachanov to get there. Let's remember that in the third round.
Sure.
And Djokovic could have Tsitsipas in the quarters, I think.
Yeah.
Which is also, you know, one of the tougher ones.
Yeah, I think arguably Federer has come out of it pretty well. I think he got Berrettini as his quarterfinal opponent, which was probably the weakest one there. But
he's got his third round against Hurkacz.
Hurkacz, who's been playing really well. And then Shapovalov or Dimitrov, obviously, who beat him at the last slam in the fourth. So there are obstacles for him as well. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, I'll make my mind up at the very last second as to who I think is going to win this. But if you'd have asked me before the draw who's going to win the women's title, I would have said Serena Williams.
Same.
And I would say she has what looks to me like the toughest draw out of everybody.
Well, that section in the women's draw, that quarter, so she's in the bottom quarter of the top half, the names in here, Osaka, Venus Williams, Gauff, Strzyzewska, Stevens, Kenin, Konta, Garcia, Wozniacki, Yastremska and Serena. I mean, all packed into that one quarter. I mean, a lot of those players have maybe got some concerns, maybe a little bit out of form, but just the names in there suggest that's a tough draw for Serena. But I actually think Serena likes a tough draw in a way. I don't.
And the first three rounds, there's not anyone who looks on paper.
No,
I mean, they're going to upset her.
No, I mean Potapova. She's got in the first round beat Kerber. Was it? I think last year at the French. I want to say, and she's really capable. But I think that match could be coming a year or two early for her, but potentially.
Did anyone watch the Yastremska match against Sabalenka?
I heard about it.
This morning, or maybe early this afternoon. It was really a very
ferocious, decent
standard indeed. And I've not watched much of Yastremska, but with Sasha Bajin in her corner, and she's only a slight thing, but my goodness.
Oh,
she has such a natural ball strike, doesn't she?
It was
the ball just flies off her racket.
And it was at the Australian Open last year when she played and lost to Serena pretty heavily and came off the court crying and said that she gave that amazing quote that she used to idolise Serena, watching her in front of the telly as though she was kind of playing the rally against her, you know, doing all the strokes. But I think a year on, if she were to meet Serena in, what would it be, fourth round, that would be a much, much tougher match for Serena because Yastremska has come on a long way in a year.
I mean, she made Sabalenka look really lumbering in the way that she moved her around and her own excellent court coverage and great shot selection, great power.
And a different kind of power because, I mean, Sabalenka hits the ball extraordinarily hard, but she kind of really
loudly.
and she muscles the ball, doesn't she? She throws her shoulders into the ball, whereas Yastremska, look, I'm not a technician in this sport whatsoever, but it looks to me like it's just a more reliable stroke production from Yastremska, and yet the ball still flies off the racket.
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful ball strike. I mean, they say that, again, we're not coaching experts here, but they say that you can pick some of those kids quite early, the ones who have that extra connection on the ball strike. I remember Laura Robson was somebody who had it, and it's maybe something that can't be taught.
Yeah, maybe not. So, anyway, we'll go through the draws in detail in a couple of days' time. We've also got a load of press conferences tomorrow, so Matt and I will be attending some of those and give you the lowdown on what's said by whom and the shape everybody looks in. But, I mean, the talking point really at the Australian Open in the last few days and in the run-up to this tournament, and in fact all over Australia, has been the weather conditions from a playing perspective caused by the bushfires and the smoke that it's brought with it, and obviously the sheer disaster itself, all the fundraising efforts that have been going on. They had the rally for relief on Wednesday here in Melbourne Park when there was a big thunderstorm going on all around, but they had the roof on and they had all the biggest names, Serena, Novak Djokovic, Nadal, Federer, Tsitsipas, all the players were on the court, Caroline Wozniacki, and it was a really nice occasion. They raised $4.8 million. Nick Kyrgios said he got goosebumps when they read out that figure, and it was really nice to see the way that had happened. But in the couple of days leading up to that, Simon, you've been here throughout the ATP Cup as well. Just give us a sense what it is like being on the ground, because we sit out here right now and post thunderstorm, we're sitting under bright blue skies, very clear air today.
It's the clearest I've been since I came in on Monday, for sure.
I mean, I only arrived here nearly midnight last night, and it wasn't bad at all. And I woke up this morning and I looked at the air index, and it was double digits as opposed to 200-300 as you've been reporting. But just give us a sense of what it's been like here.
Well, you just look out the window and it looks white. And it's a bit like sort of like you're going skiing or something. Like all the colour's been drained out by the kind of the particles in the air, and you can't see the big skyscrapers in the CBD because they're just kind of hidden by a haze. And then you walk out and you can taste that kind of smell, almost like a bonfire night smell, and that sort of tang in the back of your throat, a bit acrid. And you feel like there's a kind of grit in your lungs when you've been outside for a while. I actually, stupidly, I was in Sydney on a bad day and I had an arrangement to play tennis in the morning, and my partner didn't want to cancel, so we ended up going down and actually having a hit before we were thrown off by Sydney City Council, who told us it was too dangerous.
Oh, wow.
I mean, in a funny way, I actually felt better playing than I did when I was sort of wandering around. I don't know whether my chest opened up, but probably shouldn't have done it. Anyway, that morning, Sydney City Council closed all the tennis courts, closed all the outdoor pools, and yet play was going ahead with Croatia versus Austria in Homebush, about 10 miles away. And, you know, we wrote a little bit about it, but firstly, it was the ATP Cup, so it doesn't have the same cachet that kind of took the images of Delilah... Delilah Djokovic, the one who collapsed here on Tuesday. It didn't have the same impact as that, and the players got on with it. Obviously, when you've only got two people on the court at once, your chances of somebody having an adverse reaction are much lower than if you've got 15 courts in use at one time. But it's unpleasant, and it must get into your head. And we've also heard about players saying that they felt nauseous, like Jeannie Bouchard. We've heard Noah Rubin saying that he had blood and black stuff coming out of his nose, and he played on Wednesday, which in my opinion wasn't as bad as Tuesday. It's, you know, Craig Tiley from the Tennis Australia said we're trying to keep players on unless the concentration of P2.5 particles, which are the kind of tiny ones, goes above 200. But it's weird because sometimes you look at the scores coming up on your app and they don't necessarily correlate to what it feels like. And that's another point that Tiley made, is that the measuring devices they can give quite different readings depending on which source you're going to. I thought his defence wasn't entirely convincing, because he said that firstly that we're going to stop it if it goes over 200, but then he said it was such a complicated decision-making process we felt that we couldn't explain it to the players, and those two sentences don't really go together. I mean, if it really was just as simple as 200 parts of P2.5 particles, surely you can tell the players that. And throughout this Australian swing, no one has wanted to give a guideline until last night, when Ty Lee clearly felt he had to say something because of all the flack coming their way. And we were asking the ATP in Sydney, like, what is a decision that's been made this morning for Croatia and Austria to play? And they just wouldn't give us any background other than we have spoken to the experts and they say it's fine. So that's a bit of a long-winded kind of answer, but it's a new situation, isn't it? It's very hard to analyse. There's a great deal of unknown about how people might be affected in the short term and the long term, whether lasting damage can be done by playing in these conditions. But it just felt wrong on Tuesday that they should have started at 11. And I think with the number of people who were reporting difficulties, they haven't admitted that they made a mistake, but I think most people would feel that they did.
And I think the next day they did. They were clearly more cautious, weren't they? Because they put it back 2 hours.
3 hours.
3 hours.
It was 3 hours in the end, yeah. We think, I mean, again, whichever source you get your air quality index reading from, they give slightly different answers, but we think that the quality of the air was a bit better on the Wednesday, so they actually did more of a delay that instance than they had on the Tuesday, even though the air is slightly improved. So I guess they are becoming more conservative. I think behind the scenes there might be some people kicking back and saying, well, do the players who are affected have underlying health issues? And there are other players who are saying, you know, we shouldn't be making a fuss when people are losing their homesteads, losing their lives, firemen are risking themselves on the ground in these horrible bushfires. But it just felt wrong, and it felt as if also that if the main draw players had been here, they might have been treated with a bit more deference than the qualifiers. That was one of the key points that came out of it.
That was one of the complaints from a number of players. I know Liam Brody wrote a tweet and said, you know, I think he'd lost heavily, and he was stressing after that match how fitness is his thing, which one of the things he really relies on, and he just felt like he was out of breath after three or four games.
It must be psychological as well as physical, probably. I mean, like, you in the back of your mind, you're thinking, how is this actually going to affect me, not just today, but in the coming weeks, months and years? Because Noah Rubin said to us, you know, I rely on my fitness. He's another sort of undersized player by modern standards, just like Liam, who has to have incredibly aggressive movement to win matches. And he's kind of internally thinking, if I lose lung capacity, for the next few weeks, is that a sacrifice worth making for a victory in the qualifying round one?
What was your sense of how annoyed and upset some of the lower ranked players were by this? Because just by reading social media, you kind of got the sense that there was quite a lot of anger there, and there's obviously been kind of rumblings for a while now of, you know, potential players' union and that kind of thing. And I think the same day, the top players were practicing indoors on the main show courts, while, as you said, the lower-ranked players were having to play qualifying in those conditions. Does this feel like a bit of a big moment in that,
definitely,
in that debate?
Definitely supports the argument for a players' union. I mean, I felt from the minute that I was in Sydney and they were saying we're just taking advice from the experts and we're not going to give you any transparency, I felt that is just a recipe for exploitation of players, because ultimately the show is going to go on, you know, in any grey, actually it's a grey area in a literal and metaphorical sense, you know, because we couldn't really see very far in front of our face on Tuesday. But the decision in that situation, if you haven't got a guideline as a player, I think you feel horribly exposed. I mean, I know I would, and I, on their behalf, I was already thinking, I can see this going badly for players who don't have a guideline to say this is the point at which it stops. Actually, the heat index has also been made slightly less transparent, hasn't it?
Yeah, they use that colour-coded
sliding scale
indicator, don't they?
I always quite like the old wet bulb globe temperature reading, because that was clear. And a cut-off, I think if I was a player, I'd be desperate to have a really clear, simple line to avoid administrators making these difficult decisions with sponsors and broadcasters on their backs, you know, and you know that the money is going to talk.
It's going to be interesting, isn't it, over the next few days. I mean, look, whilst we're treating this as a story, we hope that these conditions improve. And
well, they're saying that the smoke's coming back at the weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually harder to forecast air quality than heat, because you have to take into account which way the wind's going and what actually is happening in the area from which the wind is coming. So there's so many factors. It's a real butterfly's wing scenario.
And we will therefore, if that ends up happening, be faced with trying to discover what they will do in the event of it really interrupting the tournament. Because, I mean, if it comes back with a vengeance, how problematic do you think it could end up being, Simon, having been here and having seen it affecting tennis?
Well, I mean, you've also got the questions of the fans. I mean, nobody's going to want to come and watch. You've got the question of the ball boys. We had a ball boy collapsing on Tuesday, being taken ill. And then there's the other issue about, you know, when I was in Sydney, we spoke to some people behind the scenes, and there was this feeling that we've got the three big stadia here with the roofs, the showpiece arenas with the filtered air conditioning systems. I think they're going to be fine. But then there was the backup of the 8 indoor courts at the National Tennis Centre, and the extraordinary thing on Tuesday was when we spoke to Jay Clark, and he said, well, I went over there at 11 to practice, and the smoke had all come in through the vents, and it wasn't going. It was twice as bad in the indoor courts. There was virtually nobody there.
Dear.
A couple of people practicing. It's actually, in the end, I went outside to practice. And that was, I mean, maybe they can fix that. Maybe they can be more prepared and try and do something with those vents. But he said they're permanent vents. And potentially that's quite alarming if your contingency plan is to use those 8 courts.
Yeah. I mean, I have some sympathy in as much as this, in Craig Tiley's words, is new to us all. We haven't dealt with this before, but you know, that is what they have to do. They have to figure this out. The buck stops with them ultimately. He was pretty bullish last night, was Craig Tiley, saying that this tournament will be happening no matter what, basically. But yeah, we'll keep you up to date anyway over the next couple of days with what the weather conditions are like and what we're expecting them to be, and to let you know what it is like here on the grounds, because that's what we're doing. We're here.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. You were also at the ATP Cup, Simon. I know you've heard our conversations about that competition. Having been there, what did you think?
Well, look, it was a very good competition, and the tennis was outstanding, and I think the tennis was better than the Davis Cup. But, you know, the first phone call I'm making to my editor, and I get him on the phone, and he's like, just tell me again, what's this tournament you're going to, and what does it mean? And it's...
Like your mum, David.
Yeah, I think...
Are you sure she doesn't work at the Telegraph?
That is basically exactly what she said. But that sums up the person who is not in the tennis bubble and who isn't a diehard tennis fan. That's the view, isn't it? What is this thing? Why should I care?
I think we saw it was a better week than November, but still not an ideal week, and I would cite the example of Alex de Minaur. Now, Alex de Minaur could have played in any other tournament and got injured, but the Australian number one has pulled out with an abdominal injury, and he did play for some absurd 4.5 hours on the Friday night, I think, against Great Britain, when Leighton Hewitt decided that he wanted to ditch his doubles team at the last minute in the decisive doubles rubber and put out the two singles players again. So, there was a lot at stake in terms of money. There was a lot at stake in terms of ranking points. The teams really bought into it, and they played intensely. We saw some great singles matches. But, you know, is it a perfect week? It's not a perfect week. It's better than the other one. And then the other issues, well, there were a few mismatches early on. You know, we had a few players who really were only US college standard. We had some fairly small crowds early on. Perth obviously had a Hopman Cup hangover. They went from 110,000 spectators at the Hopman Cup last year to 54 at the ATP Cup. Now, I think that's a little distorted by the fact that Federer and Williams both played there last year, but I understand that they get 90,000 most years. So that's an issue for it. So overall, you know, 7 out of 10, pretty excellent staging, better week, still, you know, massive questions about why we're messing about in this kind of weird atomized sport with all these disconnected tournaments. I mean, we know why we are, because all the organizations are completely disparate and find it impossible to work together. Meanwhile, David Haggerty, who did so much to kickstart this whole bonkers process, has been confirmed as a member of the IOC. So, well done, Dave, he says through gritted teeth.
Simon Briggs here with us on the first daily Grand Slam show of 2020, all kickstarted by yourselves. Thank you, everybody who's pitched in. More than nearly 1,400 people have backed us so far this year. Thanks for doing so, and you still have a couple of days to do so if you would like to. What do you think about my theory, Simon, that actually it might not end up being the ideal preparation for this because of how high octane it was?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get a sense of that in the next couple of weeks, won't we? I mean, I was really interested by your questions about, is Novak absolutely, you know, ripe and ready, or is he going to be a little bit squishy like a peach that's kind of been in the bowl for too long by the time you get to the final of the Australian Open, you know?
And Serbia's team, I think I saw Viktor Troicki retired today in qualifying at the Australian Open. So the ATP Cup claims its second victim.
Really?
I mean, obviously Troicki had a probably more intense week than, maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally, than he would have had with a different tournament lead up. So I do think that is now the second really interesting talking point about the ATP Cup, how it affects what we're going to see in the next couple of weeks here.
I just look at it a bit like a Ferrari. You know, you can get up to maximum speed, but how long can you keep the foot down?
But also, how long is your tank going to be? Your petrol consumption is a lot lower in a Vauxhall Astra, isn't it?
Oh, tennis players as cars. Right,
I'm thinking more of tennis tournaments as cars almost, isn't it? Yeah, it's like the Sydney International was a Renault Clio or something.
Simon Briggs, great to have you back with us, as always. Anything else I'm missing, Matt?
Well, you haven't mentioned how much Simon likes my proposal for reforming.
Yes.
Yeah, but you see, I was hoping, David, that you'd have had time to brainstorm your promise of a World Cup solution, because
24 hours on the plane.
Anyone says that the obvious solution is a unified World Cup, then my first thought is yes, of course it is. In fact, I've said that to people working in the sport. But then a few weeks ago, I was sitting down, I don't know why I became to be worrying about this, but I was going, so okay, so you've got a World Cup of women and men together. So what is actually a tie looking like? And I couldn't come up with any solution that worked. And okay, I've only given it a few hours, a few hours thought. That's probably maybe a few half hours. But the point is, it's actually really difficult. And so the Hopman Cup is actually the best model for a mixed event, but it's not really a team event because you've only got two players. And to have a captain with two players, there's like almost as many captains as there are players, would be fairly absurd, right? So I like Matt's idea of having an expanded Hopman Cup, maybe with some ranking points for the singles, a lot of money, a lot of push at the beginning of the year, maybe play it in the three venues around Australia. And then, yeah, let's have a really proper two-year team competition in the Davis Cup and the Fed Cup that maintain a lot of the traditions of the old world before before the IOC the IOC's new member got involved. But I can't quite work out how you do that World Cup, that grand unified tournament that we'd all like to see. It's quite logistically difficult.
Leave it with me, folks. I'm not giving up there just because Simon's poo-pooing the idea. And do let us know if you've got an absolutely barnstorming solution to this conundrum. We're all ears.
At one point, I thought you could do lots. Like you have like two men on the site, two women, and then you draw lots to see which of them's going to play in any given match. But then, like, if you go there and you get not picked
losing
every time. Like, you know, you're not actually drawn to play any stage. Then that would be pretty poor preparation for whatever came next.
Don't think I'm on board with that one. Look, so I want a fifth Grand Slam, folks. Men and women, country against country. This is what I want. Sort it out. Come up with the idea. I'll think about whatever you put forward. So do that. Our email address is on our show notes.
We've gone from crowdfunding to crowdsourcing.
Well, you know, use this lot, I say. So go down your show notes. If you want to pitch in for the Kickstarter before it ends in a couple of days' time, you can do so. If you want to receive our newsletter, you'll be able to sign up there. It's free. It's coming your way every single day. We're on Twitter and Instagram. We're going to be really active on all those. We've also got our Reddit page now, our subreddit, organised by listener Ian, which is almost up to 200 people now, all chatting away about tennis and even this show.
Yeah,
well, most
quite
of
the community
show
there.
Yeah, so join the community. There's a slogan. On our tennis podcast Reddit group. I don't even really know what Reddit is, but I'm going to find out. I am going to join myself and find out all about it. Have you ever heard of that, Simon?
I'm very old. And that's why all the cars I mentioned probably aren't even made anymore. I just realised. They probably don't make Vauxhall Astras or Renault Clios anymore, do they?
No, I don't think they do. So, Simon, what are we going to be reading in the Telegraph in the next day or so? Anything?
Well, alarm about our Fed Cup prospects in Bratislava, which are looking bit thin on the ground now, with Conta having pulled out and Bolter saying she's pretty unsure that she's going to be playing either.
Okay.
And we all know who's leading the charge for Slovakia.
Who's that?
Kuzmova.
Oh,
okay.
How dare I forget? And Simon, just finally, where does the Australian Open as a working assignment rank for you generally? Would you say because you've got this massive time difference, etc. But do you? Sometimes I see you at tennis tournaments and you look a bit of a shell of a man. Other times you look like you're absolutely having the time of your life. So
it really depends on how the piece came out that day, I think.
Right.
I think I was in a good mood after I'd interviewed Andreescu. That's what you're thinking of, isn't it? Pretty much at all other times I'm a shell, but Andreescu invigorated me.
Catherine had got the Heinekens out that day as well.
I quite like it. I mean, you get lots of time to write because... when by the time you get to 7 p.m. your editors are just coming in the morning over there, and they've still got like another 12 hours before they need to send anything off to print. So the difficulty is making yourself finish when you know that you can keep on going at all hours of the morning.
Right.
But then when you wake up, your office is kind of going to bed, so you can sometimes nip out for a game of tennis. I had a bit of a hit this morning with Eleanor Crooks of the Press Association.
Did you get the win?
No, I got absolutely smashed.
I'm not going to play her.
He's also done himself a disservice only mentioning writing, because I know for a fact that Simon's ventured into vlogging now.
Video blogging?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is, but apparently I did it.
Yeah. Well,
unknowingly.
You just go on the Telegraph website, scroll down one of Simon's articles, and there's a video embedded in it, and it's you click on it, and it's Simon walking you through his day.
Oh,
well, it was more that they asked me to do the air quality, and then I took a video from my balcony of my flat, and then I was going to do one on site, but then I realised they probably take my accreditation away, so did it outside the gates.
You're right.
Yes.
We've checked that.
And by that time, it was actually a really nice day. And then I came in, and actually, I'm afraid I did do one on site, because there was a thunderstorm that was dropping hail and lightning and, like, felt about 5 inches of rain in about half an hour. And I would have gone outside, but, I mean, I probably would have drowned. So I just did it underneath the canopy of the Tennis Australia building there. But don't tell anyone.
No.
Got to make the most of this podcast, because that's the last we're hearing of Simon.
Incidentally, Catherine Whittaker is promising video diaries of her own. Off-site ones, I should add. We've got to get her here first.
Yeah.
Because poor old Catherine. Get well soon. She's really miserable, folks.
Thinking of you,
moment.
Catherine.
Yeah, we are. And we can't wait till she's back with us. Hopefully in a couple of days' time. Simon, always a pleasure to have your company.
Nice to see you guys.
And we would also like to give shout-outs. Just before you go, Simon, I might need your help with these names. three of our Kickstarter backers have pitched in royally to support us, and we are going to thank them for doing so. But I can't pronounce this name reliably. Charles, I'm going to go for Sina.
It could be Sina or it could be Sina.
C-Y-N-A. Now, Charles, my apologies if I've got that wrong. If I have, let us know. We'll give you another shout-out. Okay? George Gosling Page. George, thank you very much. Magnificent name. And crikey, we got some names here this week. Peter Ty Christensen. Peter Ty Christensen is the third of our people that we're going to shout out. Tennis podcast listeners who backed our Kickstarter, you can still get a shout out if you want over the next couple of days before it closes. But thank you all for listening. Our mascot for the Australian Open is
Crumble.
Oh, Crumble.
Crumble's great.
Owned by Jim Boyle.
Picture up on Twitter. Will be up later on Instagram. He's had a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Had an Australia-themed photo shoot.
When Catherine was at her lowest ebb a couple of days ago, Matt just sent every single picture he'd got of Crumble.
Yeah.
Cheer her up, and it did the trick. So go and have a look at that. And our year-long mascot is Butler.
Is Butler. And I've been told to correct my pronunciation of Hungarian Vishla.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
I've
sort of maybe tried to correct it to something else, which is wrong, but okay. I'm going to go with Vishla.
Okay, good work. So, Butler, thanks for being our mascot for the course of the year. And we will be back with daily tennis podcasts from the Australian Open. Our next one tomorrow, when all the press conferences have been and gone, and we'll give you a rundown on what's been discussed. See you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.